Beer Talk. Gespräche über und beim Bier.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our podcast Beer Talk. Today I'm very happy because we are exploring not only the field of beer, we are also going into the field of cheese, which I really like, being myself also a cheese sommelier, doing a lot of cheese pairings with my beers for many years now. And so I'm very happy that Frederik van Tricht is here, and he is from a very well-known Belgium cheese affineur family. And I think I already met your father in some events, so really great stuff. And so I'm happy that you are here. Maybe you introduce yourself a little to our listeners.
It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm Frederik van Tricht. I'm the third generation in our company that is aging cheese. And our second passion is beer. So we love to combine those two products.
Yeah, it's so great. I think I had a nice evening in a church, in the church brewery close to Leuven, with your father. He had a lot of beers and cheeses, and I think it was like 8 or 10 cheeses, so it was really a long run, but fantastic and a great journey. If someone would ask you what is more complex in aroma, would it be beer, would it be cheese, or is it not possible to say that?
Well, it depends on what type of cheese and what type of beer. When it comes to the pairings, as we are cheese people, we always start with the beer because we have like a library of cheese flavors in our heads. So when we make a pairing, we try the beer first and then we think about the cheese that could match, whether with beer people. Very often when they make a pairing, they try the cheese first because of the beer library in their head, and then they will find the right beer to pair with it. So it can go in both ways.
That's very interesting, and that's totally right. If I think how I've approached a thing, it's exactly that way. And if you say we as cheese people, so what does that mean? So if you grew up, you were like coming into cheese production, or is it only the affineur thing? Or
so it started basically. I was not the greatest student, so one day I was still going to school, and I needed to change and look for a new direction in my study life. And then my dad was like, yeah, you know, maybe you could go to cooking school. I was not interested in cheese. So I went to cooking school, and that's where my passion for food really developed. Very quickly while I was going to school, also in the weekends, I started working with my dad. My dad also took me to a lot of cheese producers, farmers. So that was amazing to see. And so step by step, my passion for cheese grew, and now I really like it. And it's great. So basically, I learned a lot from my dad, working in our caves, you know, to really check the cheese out every day to see what it needs, if it needs to be turned, if it needs to be washed, if it needs to be brushed, playing around with temperature and humidity. It's something, you know, that you really cannot learn. It's like, you know, in advance, it's not like a very black and white thing. It's really like, you know, it has to, you have to feel the cheese, you have to watch the cheese, that you know what to do. But just to be clear, we are not cheese producers, we are affineurs, so we only age the cheese, and we work very close together with good cheese producers that make artisanal cheese in the best way.
So you're like traveling the world, finding interesting cheeses, and then buying that whole pieces and that large, wheels? I don't know.
Yeah, wheels, definitely. Yeah,
we call it wheels. And then you have these caves, that means like cellar rooms, historic ones maybe. And then you have all the cheeses on wood, I think. And
so it depends cheese by cheese. So basically we don't have like natural caves. It's all artificial. We have a very big selection. We have like around 600 cheeses coming from 16 different countries. Oh. So we always look, you know, for nice cheeses in the classic cheese countries like France, Switzerland, Italy. But we also love to discover like the pearls, like the cheeses from countries where you wouldn't expect to find cheese. Like, for example, Finland, for example, Portugal, the United States, Sweden, etc. Yeah,
I already had a lot of these northern cheeses, which are really interesting, and some of them are really special. If it comes to Belgium, what would you say, what are typical or special cheese from Belgium?
So basically, Belgium is not known as a cheese country. No. People know our country, of course, for beers, you know, for chocolate, for French fries, which are actually Belgian fries, but that's a different story. You know, we have a really nice cheese culture because we are in between two massive cheese countries. We have the Netherlands in the north, where there's a big cheese production, basically all the same style, Gouda, but a lot of cheese production there. And then, of course, in the south, we have France. So in Belgium, we got a lot of influences from those two cheese countries. But our producers are not limited to make DOP cheeses. Yeah. We have just one DOP cheese, which is Herve. It's a wash rind made in the eastern part of our country. But all the rest, you know, our producers can do whatever they want, be very creative. So in Belgium, there's a really big variety of different cheeses, from bloomy rinds to geotrichum rinds, the semi-hard, the hard cheeses, washed rinds, and blue cheese from cow, sheep, goat's milk, whatever. So even we're a small country, there's a really, really nice variation of different cheese type made in our country. So, you know, a lot of our clients, restaurants, they really want to go for a Belgian cheese platter and serve only Belgian cheese. And there is a nice variety, so it's possible.
Yeah, and here we are at the analogy to beer, because also Belgium has this huge variety of beers, and this is at least as complex and as a big variety as we have it in cheese. Mm-hmm. So if it comes to affinage, what can you do with the cheese? So you have a cheese, maybe I have it here on my plate, so you already said some things, but what for the people to imagine, what means affinage? What can I do with it?
It's a very good question, because a lot of people, yeah, they know that cheese is aged, but you know, they don't know what it does with the cheese. So for us, when we are specialized in aging, like the smaller sizes of cheeses, like for example goat cheese, like for example bloomy rinds. So when we pick up the cheeses from the producers, they are too young to eat. They didn't develop all the flavor that they have inside, so we need to take care of them. How does that work? So I already mentioned the 10 different caves that we have, all with different temperature and humidity. So we try to create the perfect conditions in every cave for every cheese type, that the cheese feels well and that it will develop all the flavor that it has inside. How does that work? So basically, when we buy, for example, a bloomy rind cheese that creates like this white bloomy mold. So when we buy it, very often it doesn't have the mold yet. The producer already added it, so it's inside of the cheese, but we make it grow. So then we need, for example, to grow mold. What you need humidity, because if the air is too dry, it will dry out before it grows mold. So then we play with the humidity. So for the bloomy rinds, we have a room with quite a high humidity that the mold can grow in a nice way. Also, fresh cheese contains a lot of humidity, so that's why we need to flip it. The younger the cheese, the more often you have to do it. So flipping, turning the cheese because of gravity. So all the moisture goes down. And if you don't turn the cheese, the cheese will not age in a good way. So the top, you have the risk that the top of the cheese dries out and the bottom will be too humid. So you can see it, like even with hard cheese, if you cut it and the cheese, when the cheese was young, it was not turned often enough, you can see it in the paste, even if the cheese is old. So yeah, you need to take care of the cheese, and that's why we do what we do. Also, for example, brushing, like for example, hard cheeses, sometimes they grow a type of mold and we brush it off, or with a dry brush. But we also can use, for example, like a brine brush, which happens, for example, for Gruyere, for Comté cheeses. So they get brushed with brine. Because with hard cheeses, you have also a little animal. It's called cheese mite, and it eats the cheese. So it's a small, it's a very small animal, but if it's like, you know, in some cases, like for example, a mimolet is a very known cheese where the cheese mite is very active. That's why the rind of a mimolet is very raw, very, it's not like very flat. It's because of the mite that eats the cheese. So for mimolets, it's on purpose. You need the cheese mite for the development of the aging and the flavor of the mimolette, but you don't want that type of mite on your Gruyère because it will eat the rind and you will have a wrong affinage. So that's why you need to brush it off, because if you don't brush it off, it will be very, very active and it will eat your cheese. So that's brushing, but you can also add flavors to cheese, which is also very interesting as an affineur, that you can play, for example, with the liquid where you wash the cheese with. In general, it's just brine, but you can replace the brine with, for example, beer or sake or whiskey or whatever. And that's also, or wine also, of course. Mm-hmm. And that has an influence on the flavor of the cheese. So we have, for example, clients that say, I have my proper gin, can you wash the cheese with the gin of the house? Then we have like a collaboration cheese that is made only for us. So that's also aging. So it's not only temperature, humidity, brushing, turning, but you can also add extra flavors. For example, also we make a homemade Camembert Calvados. So we buy a Camembert de Normandie, DOP. We put it in a bottle of Calvados for a while, and then we put some ground nuts around, and then we age it. So, you know, you can play around. You can get very creative with aging cheese, and that's really nice.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a huge playground where you can make a lot of different things. Just for my understanding, if I, for example, have this Camembert and have the Calvados, in the end, is it like 1 + 1 = 2? So then you have the Camembert with some Calvados, or is it like 1 + 1 = 3 because there are other aromas developing and other things happening?
I think, you know, like, of course, you know, when you wash a cheese, or like, for example, with the Camembert Calvados, there you really put it in a bath of cheese, you can taste, like in the case when you put it in the bath, the Camembert Calvados really tastes like Calvados. But if you wash it, if you rub it, you know, if you, for example, wash your cheese with Saint Bernardus Ab 12, or you wash it with a Castel Beer Dark, you know, you will definitely taste the flavor of the beer, but it's impossible to really taste what kind of the brand of the beer which is used, because, you know, it mellows always a little bit down, but it has really a strong impact on the flavor of the cheese. And 1 + 1 is maybe 2, you know, it depends on the cheese. So for example, you can have the Camembert Calvados with a glass of Calvados. That definitely works, but you can also have it like with a nice glass of wine.
Yeah. And is it a difference if you talk, for example, about beers, if the beer is stronger or less strong, or if it's more hoppy or more malty, is there a different result?
So on the washing of the cheese?
In general?
Yeah. So if you wash it, you know, we'll definitely, if you wash, for example, with the lager, then you're not going to have a lot of flavor. If you wash it with like an IPA or a dark, like a dark stout, of course, the impact is going to be stronger. Hmm. Yeah.
And in terms of the mites, do you then also have like cultures of these mites, which you on purpose add to the cheeses, or are they already
there? They grow wild. So basically you don't have to add them. You know, it comes from this, from itself. That's why it's for us, it's also important to have different rooms, because if you have like, for example, a room where you have the mites, they are really crawling on the walls. You can see in our aging facility, the cave with the mites, that, you know, they crawl up the walls, and they're everywhere. So we need to clean it from time to time to take them out. But if you would like put bloomy rinds in the same room, it's going to be a disaster, because they're going to eat your bloomy rind. Your bloomy rind cheese, your white malt, is going to look very terrible then.
Funny. Yeah. And now if we go to the beer and cheese pairings, so you first try the beer, then you have your personal library in your head and select which cheese, and then you are like trying them several times, or also several age variations of the cheese.
Yes. So basically for us, my dad wrote 2 books about the pairings between cheese and beer already, I think it's already also like 15 years ago, because even we're big promoters of having our cheeses with beers, because even Belgium is a beer country. You know, a lot of people, when they have a cheese evening, they will put wine on the table. And in most of the cases, red wine. And I'm never gonna tell that it's impossible to have a good red wine and cheese pairing. There are some, but it's not always very easy because of the tannins in the red wine. The tannins will fight with the fat of the cheese. So if you have a pairing with wine, it's better to serve it with white wine because there you have like acidity, minerality that goes better together with the cheese. Talking about beer, beer has like a lot of positive things compared to wine. First of all, in beer you have a very nice variation of different flavors. Think about sours, think about bitter beers like IPAs, think about sweet beers like a dark sweet beer or like for example a cherry beer. Then we have already three of the four basic flavors: sour, bitter, sweet. The only flavor that you almost will never find in beer is saltiness. And salt is a very present flavor in cheese. Every cheese is salted. You need it to develop the rind. It protects the cheese against bacteria. And it gives basically flavor. Low salt cheeses exist, but they're not really nice. So basically when you make a good cheese and beer pairing, it's you can go in two directions. Or you're gonna look for contrasting flavors, or you're gonna look for complementary flavors. The only thing that is really important is the balance between the two products. If you have the cheese and you have the beer together, in the aftertaste, you need to taste them both. You know, the one cannot go over the other. Yeah. But it's nice to play around with, because like, for example, a complementary combination is, for example, Oudejeus, where you have some acidity and you pair it with a goat cheese, which is also like an lactic cheese with some acidity. That really works. It's really a nice pairing. When you go on contrasting flavors, that's more like firework in the mouth, where you, for example, pair a fruity sour, Oude Kriek, with a blue cheese, with this bitter and salty. So then you have like really opposite flavors. It's like firework in the mouth when you try it for first, but then in the after flavor, you know, it goes nicely together. They blend up, and you will have a really, really interesting pairing. I like the slap in your face pairings, to be honest. It's really it's interesting to see. You know, for me at least, we are really promoters of the pairings, and I was very lucky to travel like the world to talk about this. I've been to Mexico for cheese and beer pairings, to Peru, the United States, and Canada, and all over Europe, and you know, it's very interesting. Like yesterday, also on the festival, even though we are in the middle of a lot of people that are interested by beer, they are still surprised and they're not familiar with pairing the beer with cheese. And you know, yesterday I sampled a lot of cheese, and you know, I explained about the pairing shortly because it was very busy, but you know, people are surprised that it works so well. So I think, you know, my task is not done yet. We all need to talk about it and make people realize that it's not possible to have a cheese platter with a variation of different flavors with one type of wine. And it's the same with beer. I think every type of cheese deserves its type of beer. So, you know, and I think I see it as a journey. You know, when you have like friends over, you're four or six people, you have a cheese platter, it's easy. You don't have to cook. You can spend time with your guests. You just have to put it in the middle of the table. And then you open a selection of different beers. And then, you know, I don't think it's like an exact science, because what works for me might not work for you. Yesterday it's always very interesting. Yesterday I had people with the same pairing. One guy told me, for me it doesn't work, and the other guy said, wow, this is a really nice pairing. So it's like a journey to discover the flavors, and it also brings stuff to the table to talk about, to argue about. You can say, huh, have you tried this OG Crystal cheese with Duvel? It works. But you should also try the Westmalle Triple with the OG Crystal. That also works. And it's like, you know, and also make people realize that it's also tasting. You don't have to pour like a whole 33 centiliter bottle and finish it. No, you know, you serve the beer in an elegant wine glass that you have all the aromas. You like smell it, you look at it, you taste it, and then to pair it with the right cheese. And that's, you know, I think it's a really lovely thing how to spend an evening with friends.
So is that how your birthday parties look like?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't party a lot for my birthday, but yeah, I think, you know, every time I'm passionate about beer, so I have a nice, I must say that I have a nice selection of beers in my cellar, and every time I see, like, you know, I should invite a few guys to have like a cheese and beer night, but I need to organize it soon. The only problem is that my wife is not very crazy about beer, so I have to kick her out and invite some friends and have the evening.
Yesterday you had this beautiful pairing of a smoked blue cheese with the Creek beer,
yes,
which was really interesting and intriguing. And I was thinking about how the smoke came into the cheese.
You know, the cheese producers are smoking cigarettes through the production. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's from Hinkelspel. It's a really nice dairy. They're based in Flanders, in Ghent. They started in the 80s and they were one of the first organic cheese producers in Belgium. And they make since quite a long time this smoked Gouda, Gouda cheese with seaweed called Dulces. And they have it like unsmoked, but they also smoke it. So they have a smoking installation. They were also making blue cheese, but they never sold it as smoked. And then so one day I was sitting together with Floris, one of the owners. And he came up with the idea of smoking blue cheese. I was like, yeah, that's a really cool thing to do. So it's like cold smoked. It's in the smoker. So no artificial stuff, just like low temperature, low and slow smoking in the smoker. And you know, the advantage of cheese and like dairy in general, it absorbs very easy the flavor. So, you know, that's like when you add smoke, it will definitely go very well into the cheese. You will taste it straight away. And yeah, you know, I think with the pairing, I thought it was funny because you have like already the contrasting flavors of the bitterness and the saltiness from the blue cheese with the contrasting flavors, the sour and the fruitiness of the Oude Kriek. And then, you know, the smoke also brings like an extra level on this pairing.
Definitely, yes, it was really great. And if you turn it upside down, you know, I've come from Bamberg, so you know all our beers are smoked. So what would be your recommendation in terms of cheese if I say, okay, I have some smoky Mertzen or some smoky Bock beer?
Well, you know, I would also maybe go I'm thinking about like a lactic smoked goat cheese, maybe. You know, and with a little hint of smoke. I would go for smoke and smoke, to be honest, two times smoke. I think that might work. But I'm not very familiar with that type of beer, so I should try it.
Yeah, you should come over. You're always invited.
We're going to pick a date, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're right. That's what I wanted. I always have some safe bet pairing. So for that, I normally use something like Skamorza or these slightly smoked cheeses. That always works. But sometimes it's also interesting to go into the more intense world, even to Munster or whatever it was.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Things. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. But
I think, you know, from the Epoisse point of view, what we already did in the past is to, you know, Epoisse is a washed rind coming from Burgundy, from France. It's a cheese that is washed with Mar de Bourgogne, like a local brandy. What we also did in the past, like with washed rinds, is to wash it with a beer. And then, then serve the beer next to it. You can wash the Epoisse with the smoked beer and then, you know, enjoy them together.
And what I saw also on your website and what I also experienced once was that you could even take like a blue cheese and turn a bottle of beer, for example, a quadruple or something like that, and turn it upside down, opened into the cheese.
Yes.
And then it stays for a while. And so by time the beer is like soaked into the cheese, and that gets a great combination.
That's right. We stole that idea from putting like port wine in a Stilton. So we did it. We have the blue cheese that you had yesterday, the Pas de Bleu. But not smoked, and then we age it with eau de geuse. For the picture, right, you know, we put the bottle. I'm gonna tell you a little secret. You know, in the practical way, we don't do it like that. We just put it like in a. We cut the cheese in four. We put it in a vacuum bag at the beer and then seal it. And it works better to get the flavor inside of the cheese. So the bottle is for social media. It does in real life. We don't do it that way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And I think at least once I tried it done the complete way like this. And it was also first. It was in Austria, and they had, I think, a classic blue cheese. I forgot. Bleu de Vergne. And they had the Samichlaus as beer, and that was really done like some days. It took for the beer to get from.
Yeah, it doesn't always soaks all the way through the cheese. Mm. To be honest, we did, and it's nice, you know, for presentation, but it's more effective to put it in a vacuum bag and
But that's why we do it. It's about fun. It's about experience. It's about all these things, and also to really learn. Tasting, eating, drinking in a conscious way. So really knowing what to do, thinking about the food, thinking about the aromas. That's always for people a great experience.
Yes.
Talking about experience, if people want to experience your world of cheese, how is it? Is it possible? Can I just come?
We are based in Antwerp. We have a shop at the Koning Brewery in Antwerp. Mm-hmm. We also spent 10 years there aging our cheese, but now we left this facility 3.5 years ago because we needed to expand. But we still have our shop in the Koning Brewery, so there can people find our cheese. Aside of that, we serve a lot of restaurants in Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, but like, for example, we also export Belgian cheese like to the rest of the world. So we export like all over Europe, but also like, for example, to Singapore, to the United States, to Canada, to Dubai. So where our cheese ends up in like specialty cheese shops.
So there's also a website and a web shop, and that for people who want to.
We don't have a web shop because, you know, we struggle with transport. So that's, you know, it's also a different type of business. And I really, you know, I think it could work. I've been playing with the idea of making like a cheese of the month box with a selection of cheeses, but we're not there yet. Maybe, you know, in a few years to put it together, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's
and, you
right.
know, and we're, I'm also always very, very afraid that during the transport, because we don't have it in our hands, that the cheese will arrive in a bad way. So
It's a living thing. So during the pandemic, I did a lot of tastings also sometimes with cheese pairings, and I really had to think what condition I put the cheese in the box.
Yes.
Because it's different if you do that in July or in November, and also if you know the tasting will be in 2 weeks or in 1 week or whatever.
So it's challenging. Yeah.
I even made advices for the people, so do it in the fridge or not, or whatever, all these things. So that's a crazy thing. If I want to experience your beer and cheese pairings, is there events where we can do that?
Not, when people ask me, I do it. I'm gonna do my tasting here at the Heimbar convention, but also like, for example, on a beer festival in Copenhagen soon. But it's not that we are doing it like that. We organize evenings, you know, sometimes people, like companies, for example, if they're looking for like a team building, they ask me to do it. But also it's not my core business. You know, basically my daily work is aging cheese and taking care of the cheese and sell it to restaurants. But cheese and beer is something that I really like, but I don't do it like, it's not that we have fixed evenings where we host it. I could do it, but it's a lot of extra work, you know, outside. So for the moment, not. Maybe again in the future.
Yes, but there's also the books. So I think I have both of them. So they are always great advice, great ideas, and you can start from there. And I think that's the other thing, that you put some ideas in our heads, and then it's our job to develop from there. And because not every cheese is the same, and not every beer is the same. No. So you cannot say this cheese with that beer, because there are many pilses and many camemberts and whatever.
That's totally right. You know, it's very hard to say, because people ask me, give me advice. That, what type of cheese should I pair with what type of cheese? And it's like you, with which type of beer? It's like you mentioned, like, a triple. There are so many different triples. I would say triple and washed rind, but there are also so many different washed rinds. Reblochon is a washed rind, but the Munster is also a washed rind. So they're completely, completely different when it comes to flavor. So, you know, I think that's why the books are, a good base to start from. And then you have to, just try it yourself. It's, again, the journey and, to discover the flavors and see what works for you and whatnot.
Yeah. So let's invite the people to do the journey, maybe to Antwerp, maybe to explore the Koenig Brewery, which is really a great place. There are a lot of several shops there with a lot of craftsmanship, chips and chocolate and beef and whatever stuff.
Yeah, we're blessed. There's a nice, one of the nicest butcher shops in Belgium there. Yeah. We have a chocolatier who's making like really, really nice rock and roll chocolates.
Oh, yes.
There's a bakery. Of course, there's a nice bar. Our cheese shop, and also in general, like the city of Antwerp is a really nice city to visit. You have everything, nice bars, nice restaurant culture, everything walkable distance. So I really can say I'm very proud about my city. So I really invite everybody all over the world to come and discover it.
Yeah, definitely, I love it too. And my favorite is the Safe Beer place, which is also great people. So, but it's nice everywhere. So, thank you very much for your time, for the information, and for what you do for all of us, which is wonderful. And I'm looking forward to try the next combinations.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Beer Talk, der Podcast rund ums Bier. Alle Folgen unter www.biertalk.de.